Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays, averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Bellhaven Dispatch. No, this is Fay Bickler. He's not at his desk. May, take it on 5, will you?
Right, got it.
Excuse me, Fay.
Oh, hi, Nancy.
Hi, is David out?
No, he's over in the press room. He'll be right back.
Can I see him, do you think?
Sure. Have a seat.
Thanks.
Hey, where did you get those fancy beads?
Oh, yeah, aren't they great? Kate gave them to me. They're just like the ones your husband gave her a long time ago.
They're hand-carved.
Yeah, and hollow. Listen. I know they're too big for me.
Oh, who told you that?
David.
You wear them. They're terrific.
Anyhow, they're good luck. That's why I wore them in this afternoon. Maybe I'll get an answer to my ad.
Ad? What's it for?
A job.
Oh, I didn't know you were looking.
Looking? Oh, I'd do anything. I just can't hang around home any longer doing babysitting. I'm 18 now.
Well, what do you want to do?
You know, I would love a job like yours, say. On your own time, meet interesting people. Get your name in the paper every day.
And you think you can just walk into that?
Well, I know. You have to start.
Look, I've been working around newspapers for 9 years. You know where I started? Mm. Copy girl. Mm. That's newspeak for errand boy. It was on the North Pole Star.
Yeah, but look where you are now.
Not all that far.
How old are you, Faye?
Same age as Kate, 27. Look, if I had a decent schooling, I'd be a lot further.
What, you mean like college?
Like college.
Oh, you didn't want to go either?
I'd have crawled on my hands and knees.
Oh, it is a bore, Faye, really.
Aren't you lucky to be able to say so? Oh, here's David now.
Faye, can you take the desk tonight?
Right.
Oh, hi, Spark, bud.
Hi, David.
I hate to ask you again, but Ed's home with a flu, and I want to cover the town meeting on the new shopping center. It's going to be a hot one.
Oh, I can handle it if you want, Dave.
Hey, you've been out on stories 2 nights already this week. Put up your feet for a change.
Whatever you say, boss. See you, Nancy.
Yeah, sure. Oh, is she lucky?
You think so?
She gets around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes 14 hours a day.
Oh, life's passing me by. David, did I get any answers to my ad yet?
What is that? George, anything for 17Y?
No, not a thing.
Sorry, honey. We'll keep on running.
I just can't go on babysitting, living with my parents. You don't care, David.
Sure I care.
Well, you don't understand.
That's for sure.
Well, hey, David, I made a mistake. There's one letter for 17Y.
Me?
Thanks, George. Well, it looks like it. Here.
Oh, my good luck beads. Can I open it right here?
There's no law against it. What did you draw?
Sir or madam, in response to your ad 17Y, we are an old, reliable company interested in training a young lady for our business.
Mm-hmm.
No typing or bookkeeping necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Must be strong and healthy. Good salary while you learn from the ground up.
That sounds okay. Who is it?
Isaac Hawkins, president. Hawkins Fancy Chicken and Poultry Farm?
Oh. Are you big on feathers, Nancy?
It isn't funny.
Oh, come on, honey. It's only your first answer. There'll be others.
Wait till I tell Kate what her beads do.
Don't take it too hard. Not yet.
It's just that I've never been into chickens.
Something else will turn up.
Yeah.
Look, Nancy, I'm driving to the airport next Saturday to meet Isabel.
What, she's coming home?
Yeah, yeah. Would you like to drive down with me?
Would I? Oh, Kate, too?
She can't make it. I need company.
Oh, I would love it. David, you know something?
No, not often.
Chickens are sort of basic, aren't they?
You could say so.
I might just go out and see that old gent in his chicken farm.
It's a living.
You know, maybe he's got an ecology problem.
Well, you could find him one.
Okay, laugh. I don't care. But it's something to know I'm wanted.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oseeder makes your life easier.
Oh, hi. You looking for Kate?
I've been ringing the doorbell. No one seems to be home, so I just looked in the windows.
The doorbell doesn't work. You gotta knock.
Ah.
Oh, well, maybe the door's open. Nope. Nobody's home. But Kate will be here soon. She's going back to the city this afternoon.
Oh, well, then I won't bother.
No, it's okay. She doesn't mind being bothered. Hi, I'm Nancy Reed, her niece.
Hi. Her niece?
Yeah, I know. You're surprised. Mom's her sister, but Mom's a million years older. Kate and I are sort of like sisters. You live around here?
No.
But you know Kate?
Well, I've known Kate for a long time. Through her husband.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah, I'm an old friend of Tom's. Very close friend. Would you mind a question, young lady?
Who, me? Oh, no.
Those wooden beads you're wearing, they look interesting.
Oh, but Kate gave them to me. They're just like the ones that Tom gave her, actually. Only they're not the same ones, so she gave them to me. Kate's sort of a sentimental person.
But she told you they were very similar.
Oh, yeah, she said exactly. Except the letters of her name were on the others.
That's interesting.
And they're lucky. I'm going to wear them the rest of my life. They got me a date with David. And now they got me a job, maybe.
Well, I wouldn't give them up if I were you.
Oh, here comes Kate now.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wolf.
Hello. I was returning through town. I wanted to see you about a small matter. And this charming young lady came along.
You and Nancy know each other by now.
He was looking in the window, and I was trying to push the door open. The doorbell still didn't work.
Oh? I'll leave a note and tell Mrs. Jessup she's out right now.
Well, I'd better push along. Oh, unless you want to lift to the train, Kate.
The train? Oh, you taking a train somewhere?
I'm going into the city.
Well, if it happens, I'm driving down myself.
Oh.
If you would allow me the privilege.
Oh, that's very nice.
Well, that's that. Who needs me? See you, Kate.
Thanks, Nancy, ever so much. Another time?
Bye-bye. Sure. Bye, Mr. Wolf.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Interesting, young lady. So, you gave her Tom's beads.
I told you they were not Tom's. When you offered them to me, I thought you'd take them away with you, but you left them behind.
Well, I have no use for them. True, I did leave rather abruptly. But you were called to the phone.
Oh, I understand.
It's going to be a great pleasure to be driving you down to the city.
It's very kind of you. My bag's packed.
Well, there's no hurry.
Come in, won't you, while I go up and get it?
All right. Thank you. Kate.
Yes?
I must say something to you before we leave.
What?
I've asked you twice now for a document that Tom left among his papers for me.
Well, I've told you nothing like that has ever turned up.
Well, it's very important to me.
If I ever find it, I'll...
Well, it must be here somewhere, hmm?
But it isn't, Mr. Wolf.
Oh, come. We're past Mr. Wolf, aren't we? What about that study?
There are no papers in the study. Everything was cleared out after Tom's father's death.
Do you mind if I look?
Yes, I think I do.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kate. I forgot myself. The document I want could mean nothing to you, but to me, it could be a new life. I can't tell you any more now. I'm rather upset. My apologies.
You ask a lot of trust from me.
Yes, yes, I do. Against all the things you may have heard about me. But it's for Tom's sake.
Tom has been dead 3 years.
But not all he did, my dear. I was Tom's best friend. I may turn out to be yours.
Faces of Love features Joan Loring as Kate Wakefield, Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing, Mason Adams as David Sloan, and Alison Argo as Nancy Reed. Also appearing were Helene Dumas and Stotz Cotsworth. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Margaret LaWorth, and brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Julia, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Okay.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Dear listeners, yesterday I told of a letter taking me to task in most curious language. I promise to read it to you and shall forthwith. Sir, this is a fan letter, but so help me, I'll quit listening if you keep saying ladies as if your only fans are dames. Get with it, Thackeray. Get your head together, or I will go bananas. Bananas? Men listen too, and why wouldn't they? What a doll that Becky Sharp is. Right on, man. Yours with thanks, Thomas Ryan. Bless my soul. It's strange coarse language. Oh, no. I am delighted. And today, begin Vanity Fair with, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Well, dear, dear, this distraction has caused me to lose the thread of my story. Oh, yes, 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 of course. Rawdon, all at Twitter, waits in the grape arbor for Giles to bring an answer to his note sent to Becky. Alas, instead of Giles, his Aunt Matilda approaches.
Egad, must look downcast. Am downcast.
Rupert, why are you loitering in the grape arbor? Certainly no grapes left, hardly any leaves. What are you doing here?
Thinking.
Oh, dear, are you in the same dreary mood you were at breakfast?
Drearier.
I warn you, I'm nearing the end of my patience.
I apologize for what I cannot help.
You're boorish and impossible, and it's late in the day for apologies.
I am a cipher without Lady Isabel.
That's a trifling excuse.
Trifling to you, the world to me. Auntie, have you reconsidered?
I presume you mean letting you return to London. No, I have not.
I have considered taking to drink.
A pretty thought. You can be like your father then, addled and fuddled half of the time.
I prefer whole of the time.
You don't mean such nonsense, of course. You like your glass, but you could never be like Sir Pitt. Why, there's Giles yonder. What's he doing out here?
Oh, Giles. Yes. Fancy. Giles.
You sound like an imbecile. Have you been drinking?
No, Aunt Matilda, no.
Giles, why are you hanging about? Come here.
Oh, I thought you might have need of me, Miss Crawley.
Why would I have need of you in the grape arbor? Everyone behaves so strange of late. Lord, and I do think your malaise is catching.
If you'd send me away, Auntie, all would be as before.
I have had quite enough of that subject. Giles, you may go.
Oh, but I did hear your little doggie crying most pitiful.
My poor poor.
I thought I'd best tell you so you could go to him.
Oh, yes, at once. Why didn't you tell me before? Rawdon? I expect you to join me for tea.
If I'm able. Giles, a letter?
Oh, yes, sir. Here it is, sir.
Ah. Poof, poof. You're a clever one.
Will I wait for an answer, sir?
Yes, wait whilst I read. My heart, beloved, come to me at 10.
Let nothing prevent. My heart hopes and beats and longs and trusts. I've only one thought to sleep and wake upon. When will he come? For I am your own Becky.
Ah, you will see me, Giles.
Oh, yes, sir. She bids me say you're not to come till you're certain sure all are abed in the household.
I will. Tell her I will.
Any other message, Mr. Rawdon?
Tell your mistress I love Lady Isabel Blessington and will not be faithless to her.
Ah, the dedicated insanity of youth. Ladies, gentlemen, join me in Becky's quarters when the clock strikes 10. Ormolu clock in Becky's small sitting room is supported, how appropriate, by cupids. A single candle lights the room, and the little clock chimes a magical hour.
How much longer must I wait? But, dear Rawdon, do not be precipitous. Be very sure Sir Pitt and your auntie are bedded. Do not, I beg you, court disaster. Court only me. Oh, who is it, please?
Gordy Kiner, your own true love.
Thank you.
Not yet. Close the door. Now. Oh, my darling. Oh. Sir Pitt is asleep. Miss Crawley is asleep. Oh, she won't let you go to London, and I don't care. Oh,
my love, my little love.
My Gordy.
Have you told Aunt Matilda that's the name of your love?
Oh, no, not yet, but I will. Oh, we put her off, haven't we, my darling? She does think we both love the others.
Yes, that much we've done. Gad, you're beautiful.
Is it very wicked of me to wear my dressing gown?
Very wicked.
But you don't mind?
Mind, Becky.
Oh. Oh, dear heaven.
Giles, must be Giles.
No, she wouldn't knock.
Would tonight, knows I'm here.
Rebecca! Rebecca, my dear!
Your aunt! One moment, Miss Crawley, whilst I put on my dressing gown. Into the bedchamber, close the door.
Damn.
I'm coming, Miss Crawley. Dear child, were you sleeping?
Oh, I was having a ravishing dream.
Do forgive me. I could not sleep. May I come in? Now that I've wakened you, we may as well be sleepless together.
Yes, do come in.
I would have wakened Rawdon. But he's not fit company these days. Simply impossible.
Yes, he is rather, isn't he? Do sit down.
Ah, let us sit in the Queen's bedchamber. It's been years since even I've seen it.
Oh, no, please, Miss Crawley. It's in dreadful disarray. I'd be frightfully upset for you to see what you would see. Come tomorrow when all is tidy. Oh,
very well. Oh, how pretty you look, Rebecca. Such a charming dressing gown, ribbons and ruffles.
Charming. My friend Amelia gave it me.
It most becomes you. If Rawdon could see you in that.
Oh.
But no, he has eyes only for Lady Isabel Blessington. My dear, what are we to do about him?
Oh, he is in rather a frightful state, isn't he? I saw him earlier, and he was swearing dreadfully.
I'm beginning quite to dislike Lady Isabel Blessington.
But he does not dislike Lady Isabel Blessington.
He revoltingly loves her.
Miss Crawley, may I take the liberty of speaking upon this subject?
But I asked your opinion, my dear. I said, what are we to do about Rawdon?
Thank you. Candor in such matters is best, don't you think?
You first won me with your candor, Rebecca. Pray speak.
Please know, above all, that I share your indignation. But contrariwise, I know exactly how Captain Rawdon feels, for I too am bereft of my Gordy.
Gordy?
Oh, I haven't told you my darling's name.
Ah, the young soldier you dote upon.
More than life. So I well understand Mr. Rawdon's agonized need to fly to his love. I cannot go to mine, but he can to his. And if I may say it, please allow him to go.
Both of you love.
Oh, yes.
But mark the difference. You suffer your ordeal bravely. You do not mope about and render all others as miserable as yourself. Moreover, he flouts my authority. Until his mood improves, until he behaves properly, and like my own darling nephew, I shall not submit to his whim that I return him to London.
Let us hope, ladies, that... your pardon, let us hope, ladies and gentlemen, especially Mr. Thomas Ryan, that Rawdon, crouching in the Queen's bedchamber, knows what to do. Be sure, if he does not, Becky does. Your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by four-way nasal spray, gives you the fastest deep ingestion relief possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestive relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
What time is it now?
It is exactly 2 minutes later than when you last asked me. It is 2:22.
Why don't you go to bed? You have to go to work tomorrow.
I'm not going to leave you down here pacing the floor by yourself. Do you realize you're walking around in circles?
Well, I am very upset. Where can she be at this hour? I mean, if you can stay out this late, wouldn't you think she'd have responded?
Well, sometimes you can't always get to a phone.
When can't you get to a phone? If nothing else, there are phone booths, public phone booths.
Well, they don't always work. Some of the young kids jam them with slugs trying to get money out and all that.
I mean, you can always get to a phone somewhere. I think we should call the police or the hospitals or something.
She's got identification. If she'd been taken to a hospital, they would have phoned us.
You're not worried?
Well, no, not as much as you. I mean, you always worry about everything. You're a worrier.
Well, if you're not worried, why don't you go to bed?
I told you I'm not going to leave you down here alone wearing out that rug.
Well, I can't sit down. You want anything?
What do you mean, do I want anything?
Coffee, tea, milk, ginger ale, tomato juice, bouillon.
No, I don't want anything.
You know, when you go out, I think you owe some consideration for the ones who love you, who are home waiting for you. With all the terrible things that can happen these days, muggings, murders, accidents, drunken drivers on the road.
A car turning in the drive.
Oh, I left.
Look, she won't like it if we're up waiting. You think we should scoot upstairs?
No, I'm not scooting upstairs. I want to know where she's been.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for the ride, Billy.
Debbie.
Hi. For goodness sakes, what are you two doing up so late?
I thought you were upstairs in bed.
No, Mom. I told you we'd be very late tonight. Just rehearsal for the French day. I told you that.
Oh, yes. Yes, I forgot.
What are you doing up so late?
Well, we are waiting for Aunt Maggie.
Aunt Maggie?
I told you Mr. Blake down the road asked her out tonight. It is nearly 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, Mother, since she's Daddy's aunt, I think she's quite old enough to look after herself.
Well, your father's Aunt Maggie's had a very sheltered life, and in many respects. She never married, spent her life looking after her mother and father.
Oh, Deb, you know your mother. She worries about everything.
But Mr. Blake? I mean, he seems like such a nice man.
Yes, he does. But when you come right down to it, what do we know about him?
Well, we know he lives down the road, and he's a friendly neighbor.
And that his wife died a year ago.
So?
Well,
you act as though he might be some sort of...
Go to bed, Debbie. You're out entirely too late on a school night, anyway.
Mom, I told you it's going to be late.
Well, I don't remember you telling me. I was so busy getting Aunt Maggie dressed for a date. I couldn't decide which of her new dresses she was going to wear.
Did you really think I was upstairs in bed asleep?
Yes, I did. I know.
Thank heavens you thought so. We'd have double trouble worries tonight.
Good night, Mom. Good night, Dad.
Good night.
I think Aunt Maggie is probably just having such a nice time that she's forgotten what time it is.
Well, maybe so.
See you in the morning and stop worrying.
What do we really know about Maynard Blake?
Oh, honey, for the love of Mike.
Well, where could they be? Nothing is even open at this hour. Aunt Maggie's really very naive. You know what I mean.
What are you really worried about? That she's being attacked by Maynard Blake? Or that she's been in a car accident? Or what?
I don't know. I just feel I made a big mistake in getting Aunt Maggie to get her hair restyled and new clothes and wear a little lipstick. Now she's kicking up her heels. And
let her have a good time. I don't think she's had too many.
I want her to have a good time. I just want her to get home at a decent hour, and 2:30 is not a decent hour for a first date.
First date?
Well,
Aunt Maggie must have had some dates when she was a young girl.
Well, yes, I don't expect too many. Her sister Ruth went out, but Aunt Maggie had to stay home most of the time to look after her mother. You know, your grandmother Baxter was an invalid. Or so she said.
Well, what's that mean? Grandma Baxter was never well.
She wanted somebody to wait on her, I guess. Well, now, let's not discuss that. Let's worry about Aunt Maggie and try to figure out where in the world she can be. Call Maynard Blake's house again.
No.
Just try.
No. I've called every half hour. I'm tired of it.
You realize, of course, that we really know nothing about him at all.
Well, he's a nice, quiet, friendly, pleasant neighbor.
So was Bluebeard.
Bluebeard?
That Frenchman. Henry Landau or Landau or whatever it was, something, murdered all these women for their money, lured them to his little house in a little village.
Honey, for the love of Mike, will you cut it out?
Well, I feel responsible for Aunt Maggie.
I'm worried about her. After all, I introduced her to him. We invited him for dinner.
Hey, relax. Relax. There's another car pulling into the drive.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Look, honey, Peg, I think we should get upstairs. I don't think we should be sitting here in our bathrobes when Aunt Maggie walks in. It looks funny.
It doesn't look any funnier than Aunt Maggie getting in at this hour. I just want your Maynard Blake to know that we care about
him. Why is he suddenly my Maynard Blake? You're the one who insisted he be invited for dinner.
Better come up the walk now.
I don't think I'd peek out the window if I were you. That looks funny. Sit down. Here, let's be reading the paper.
I know. Well, come on in. Let me fix your cup of coffee.
Oh, no, Maggie. I've had so much coffee tonight, I already feel like a coffee pot.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, are you two still up?
Yes, we are.
My, I thought you two went to bed early. We've just had the loveliest evening.
Hello, Maynard. Come on in.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you just can't imagine where we've been.
No, I can't, Aunt Maggie.
Well, tell the Maynard.
I went to visit a friend of mine, sort of a nursery nut.
No, he certainly is not a nursery nut, Maynard. But his friend Bernie Phelps has 160 plants in his house. Can you imagine?
Well, Bernie really has a green thumb.
Green thumb? I'd say he has 10 green fingers. Oh, we just had the best time. I have never seen such healthy rhododendrons in my life. And this Bernie has 10 different kinds.
Well, that sounds interesting, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
My friend Bernie has a small greenhouse attached to his main house with all sorts of gadgets about temperature and moisture.
It was just fascinating. It really was. You should have seen his African violet.
Well, that's Bernie's specialty.
Well, I can't even begin to tell you all the different kinds of plants he had. And he also has another specialty, dahlias. He had dahlias there in his greenhouse. Why, some of them were the size of dinner plates. It was just incredible.
Well, we wondered where you were. It's nearly 3 o'clock.
Oh, say, is it that late? Well, I'll say goodnight.
Oh, well, Maynard, I had a lovely evening.
Well, so did I, Maggie. And I'm glad you're going to be here, at least until after Christmas.
Well, I'm staying here, but I'm going to visit a few relatives and friends.
Yes, I know, but thank you for a very nice evening. And Bernie's going to call me when the night blooming Sirius occurs. I'll give you plenty of notice.
Well, I hope so. I shouldn't like to miss that. Good night, Maynard.
Good night.
My, how come you two stayed up so late? Watching late television?
No, Aunt Maggie, we were waiting for you. We were waiting and worried about you. Do you realize what time it is? It is nearly 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, we went to see this movie about a little dog. And then Maynard suggested we go see his friend who has these plants. Because I told him about the plants I have at home. And how I was so worried because my grape ivy just seems to die on
me. Well, Bob and I are very glad that you had a good time.
Oh.
But when we asked this neighbor, this Maynard Blake, whom we really don't know too well, when we asked him to dinner last night, and then he asked you to a movie, I certainly had no idea that he would keep you out until 3 a.m.
Oh, what?
Which I think is a pretty late hour to be getting in. And quite frankly, Maggie, I've been ready to call state police and the hospitals, wondering and worrying about accidents, and Bob and I have been waiting up and worry. I just think 3 o'clock is too late to get in for a first date.
Well, I do apologize. I thought of phoning you then, but that seems sort of silly.
Look, Aunt Maggie, it really doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter. I worried about her, and you did, too.
Well, yes, I'm afraid we both did, Aunt Maggie.
Well, I'm glad. It makes the whole evening even nicer.
You're glad that I thought you were in an accident or worse?
What is worse than an accident?
Oh, Aunt Maggie knows what I mean. Anyhow, Aunt Maggie, I do not want you going out with Maynard Blake until you know him better, until we all know him better, and to stay out until 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm worried to pieces about you.
Oh, you know, it's the first time in my life that I stayed out too late, and somebody stayed up and waited and worried about me. Thank you, dear.
Well.
All right, it's 3 a.m. Get to bed, young lady.
Yes, right away. But I must say, I'm not sleepy. But imagine somebody with 160 plants in his house. My goodness, what an exciting evening. Good night. Good night,
Aunt Maggie. Now, please, the household is tucked in for the night. Can we go to bed?
Yes, dear.
Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Give you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Well, will I do?
Let me see. Yes, I think your dinner jacket's hanging a little bit better.
You mean,
Yes, the bulge is less bulgier.
My tailor will thank you. Are you ready?
Not quite. You go ahead. I think I heard Jason and the family arrive about 5 minutes ago.
Well, hurry up now.
Right.
Won't be a party till you get there. Hello there, Lynn. Let's go downstairs together. Well, dear, this is your night, isn't it?
Mine and Kurt's, Daddy.
I suppose I should be used to it by now.
Oh, Daddy, you sound so put upon.
Oh, I do?
Yes, all daughters grow up and get married. Do you want me to be a little girl all my life and stay home?
Well, you've been married and it didn't work.
Oh, that's no reason to give up.
No, not to rush into another one.
Now, look at Angela Fairchild over there. Do you want me to be like her?
Well, you could do a lot worse. She's a fine woman.
Yes, and she's not married. And it doesn't look as though she will be.
Well, I wouldn't.
Oh, it's nice to see you again, Anne.
Let's get ourselves a drink, shall we? Okay. What would you like? Scotch and water's fine.
Fine.
Two scotch and waters, please. So, how are things at Jefferson Hospital?
Oh, about the same. We have our share of hospital problems.
How's Emily? I heard she's been in the hospital for a, what, test?
Yes, but she's here tonight.
Oh, she's all right.
Well, you can see for yourself.
Where's Jason?
Talking to Lynn over there.
Or listening to Lynn is more like it. I'll bet she's telling him just how wonderful Kurt is.
Well, he is good looking.
Alarmingly so, I'd say.
That sounds as though you agree with Robert.
Well, I don't think Robert objects to his looks. I think Jason's about to meet the fair-haired boy now.
Lynn, you look, as they say, radiant.
Oh, thank you, Jason. Where's Emily?
Oh, she's in the library with Jennifer. Jen wasn't terribly interested in coming until she remembered Robert's big world globe, and then we couldn't hold her back.
I want you to meet Kurt. Kurt, This is my brother, Jason.
How do you do, Jason?
Well, welcome home. I understand you've been in Switzerland for some time.
Yes, several years there and other places.
Oh, did you suffer much culture shock?
I've never been to Chicago before, so it's hard to say. But it feels good to be back in the States.
Jason, did the board approve the budget yet for the newsletter?
Well, almost, Lynn. They'd like to see a breakdown of some of the printing costs. You see, some members think they might have better sources.
Oh, what a bore. Well, I hope they can wait until after our honeymoon.
And when will that be?
Soon. Quite soon, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, if Robert...
Right now, I think Caroline might be the one to talk to on that.
Oh, where is she?
Well, she just came in with your Emily. I'm so glad you could come, Emily. How have you been feeling?
Oh, fine. And I have modern medicine to thank for it.
You're sure?
Oh, yes. Why is it so hard for people to believe good news?
Well, I'm sorry, Emily. What do you hear from Bobby?
He's taking Harvard in his stride. Or maybe it's the other way around.
Well, his grandfather misses him.
Robert's looking well.
He should be. You know, I don't know whether it's his diet or fretting, but he's taken off at least 5 pounds.
Well, what is he worrying about?
Well, that handsome Kurt Rogers who seems to have made a conquest of your daughters.
We'll go to first snowfall, I promise.
There aren't many mountains around here.
We can go up to Minnesota. Don't worry, we'll find the snow.
I hope so.
Since snow is so soft, how do people break their legs in it?
It's the way they fall. If you do it right, you can probably get by with a little bit of frostbite and a few blisters in your new boots.
Well, I don't have any boots or skis.
Well, don't worry about that. I'm planning to be the distributor for some Swiss firms.
You mean you'll have skis and sweaters and things?
In your size, too.
Your Uncle Kurt is a wonderful ski instructor.
He should know.
Come on, Jennifer.
I want to find out more about skiing.
Later, Jen. They want to be alone.
Oh, how could you tell?
You know, that was what first attracted me to you.
What was?
I saw you teaching some children, and I knew you'd be a wonderful father.
Of course, but not right away.
We don't want to wait too long, dear, since we both love children.
Wearing it quite well, Kurt.
The strain doesn't show.
Must be because you're an athlete.
And there's no way to train from meeting your future in-laws.
Have you talked to Robert yet?
You mean today?
Yes.
Does he want to see me?
Well, not exactly, but I think he wants to find out if you've made any business arrangements yet. Or if he could help you.
Oh, that.
Don't dismiss it like that. Robert thinks all young husbands-to-be should be able to produce an attractive financial statement.
Of course, as soon as I transfer some funds from Zurich.
Have you met everyone yet?
Yeah, I don't think I've met the woman who's talking to Jason.
Oh, that's Emily's sister, Angela Fairchild.
Well, Angela, we aren't planning on staying very late.
Well, that's a good idea.
Tell me, how does Emily look to you?
Oh, a little tired, but then she's doing a lot. She's still working on her degree, isn't she?
Yes, I wish she'd give up something.
And you don't mean you or the children.
Oh, you're as bad as Emily.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, here comes one of your admirers.
Well, Angela, you've been neglecting me all evening.
Well, you looked quite busy, Robert.
Oh, Dad's never that busy. I think I'll freshen my drink. Anyone need anything?
Nothing for me, thanks.
And I've had my quarter for this evening. What do you think of him?
Chase?
I know what you think of him. I mean Kurt, Lynn's playmate.
I haven't met him yet, so don't try to influence me.
I'll trust your good judgment.
I know what that means. You expect me to side with you.
Oh, I'm that transparent?
Oh, yes. Tell me, since you're so happily married, why don't you want Lynn to have the same thing?
I do very much, Angela, but I can't see Kurt Rogers making her happy.
You know, as I remember, you weren't very fond of Bill Sloan. At least not when he was married to Lynn.
Yes, you're right. But now when I see Kurt, Bill's looking better and better.
I imagine you changed your opinion of Bill after the annulment, didn't you?
Oh, yes, somewhat. You're getting at something, Angela.
Robert, I don't think you'd find any man acceptable for Lynn.
Oh, now that is rubbish. That's nonsense.
Let her go, Robert.
We all have to give up things and move on.
You're speaking from experience?
Of course I am. Oh, look, Carolyn's waving at you. Oh, Robert! Oh, Robert, come on. Now, Lynn, are you sure you want to do this?
Oh, as soon as I can find courage.
It's a very successful party, dear.
I hope you'll still think so in a few minutes.
Oh, I suppose I know what you're hinting at.
Here he is.
Do you think now is the time?
There will never be a better one. All right, Caroline? Everyone? Everybody, attention, please. I want to make an announcement. You are all invited to a wedding. Oh. 1 week from today, Lynn and Kurt Rogers will be married right here at River Run, in the garden, weather permitting. Oh. And, Robert, will you propose a toast?
Yes, of course, darling. Does everyone have a glass?
I don't, Grandpa.
Well, now, for this occasion, Jennifer, a small sip of white wine.
Here you are, Jen.
All right, everyone, now. Here's to the health and happiness of Lynn and Kurt, my daughter, and the man she loves. May they both bring happiness to each other. To Lynn and Kurt!
To Lynn and Kurt! Does that make it really, really happen, Grandpa?
And to Hold has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.